All right, I'd like to call the October meeting of the Mountain Lindland Wetlands Commission to order. We have Commissioner Leclerc, Commissioner Roscoe, Commissioner Rossellini, and myself present. First order of business the minutes of is to approve the minutes of the September 18th regular meeting.
I make a motion to approve the September 18th, 2025 minutes.
Second it.
All right, any discussion? I have to say they were really long this month. all in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries unanimously. No public hearing, no show cause hearing. Any remarks in the public not relating to items on the agenda? Any remarks in the public not relating to items on the agenda? Any remarks to the public on items not relating to the agenda? All right. Okay, old business, Noble Hill Road. Owner Jeffrey Phillips and Jennifer Michaels. Update on ongoing enforcement action. A cease and correct order.
Stacy Radford, Zoning Wetlands Officer for the record. So we had a few, just a bit of an update. On September 23rd, I received a call from Mr. Phillips who advised me that the boat structure had been removed, topsoil had been added to the area shown on the mitigation plan, riprap had been added to the scouring hole in the area of the wetland crossing, and he was in the process of spreading the wetland seed mix and haying the disturbed areas. On September 24th, I met with Mr. Phillips on his property and conducted a follow-up inspection. The inspection report is attached to your staff report, and he's working diligently to get his application submitted to the Planning and Zoning Commission for their October 28th, 2025 meeting. So I would recommend that we continue this matter on the agenda until it's been completely resolved to the satisfaction of the commission.
Any questions? Can I get a motion to continue Noble Hill Road to the next meeting?
Certainly. I make a motion to continue this matter to the next regularly scheduled meeting on November 20th of 2025 and continue to do so until this matter has been resolved to the satisfaction of this commission.
I second it.
Discussion? Okay, Commissioner Rossman made a motion. Commissioner second. All in favor?
Aye.
Carries unanimously. 25 Ivy C 23227 Route 32. Owner applicant Uncasville Property LLC for redevelopment of the site for mixed use building with regulated activities.
Stacy Radford, Zoning and Wetlands Officer for the record. So this referral for comments was forwarded to the town soil scientists on September 8th. Comments were received back on September 29th and forwarded to the applicant for response. A referral for comments was forwarded to the town engineer regarding the drainage calculations on September 10th, 2025. Comments were received back on September 15th and forwarded to the applicant. The applicant provided a response to the comments on September 22nd, along with revised drainage calculations and a revised plan. The town engineer provided additional comments on September 25th, 2025, and the applicant provided a response to all comments on October 8th, as well as a revised site plan, which was provided to the town soil scientists and town engineer, who both provided final comments on October 9th that all previous comments had been fully addressed. At this time, staff has no new comments. Ellen Bartlett is here on behalf of the applicant to discuss this application and answer any questions that the commission may have.
Good evening. Is this working? Okay, my voice isn't very strong tonight, so. I'm Ellen Bartlett with Green Site Design, and I'm representing the owner and applicant. The project is located at 2227 Route 32. And this is the survey of the plan of the property, and it shows the existing conditions. There's presently three commercial buildings on the site, as well as a number of out structures. There's a roll-off, and there's a couple of sheds on the building as well. one of the buildings on the site is a liquor store that may help you get oriented to where we are. I mean, I've passed it a million times. It's a previously developed site, but there is no stormwater treatment on the site. Everything kind of sheet flows back to the rear of the property, and there's a large wetlands back there. The site consists of 1 acre, and there's less than a tenth of an acre of wetlands on the site. It's zoned commercial, and what we're proposing to do is remove all the existing buildings and structures and pavement from the site and put one new building in the middle of where the existing development is. At this point, I think I'd like to ask Bob Russo to talk to you about the wetlands, as he wasn't here at the last meeting, so you haven't heard from him yet.
Good evening. My name is Bob Russo, soil scientist with Green Site Design. I'd like to just review the existing conditions on the site. Ellen indicated the location of the site, and I want to talk a little bit about more about the nature of the site itself. As you can see on the existing conditions plan, sheet 01, that's in front of you, the site currently has three buildings, has pavement. It's been developed. There's a couple little slivers of wetland on the northeast border of the site. We'll call it the northern wetland. This is largely a wetland that was created by stormwater coming in from the east, where I'm indicating here, behind the building that's off-site, and stormwater coming in through a PVC pipe located here. The hotel is just to the north of this, and some of the stormwater from the hotel flows into this as well. It does have both shrubby and forested vegetation. It's in sandy, gravelly soils. It's a pretty small pocket of wetland, again, that has been created and altered for use really to treat stormwater. Towards the back of the site, on the southeastern part of the site, is a wetland that is associated with Shantok Brook. It's a forested wetland. It's in an alluvial soil, a Ripawam soil. Right up along the edge of it, there's some debris, some fill, some invasive species like multiflora rose, Japanese knotweed, things like that. As well in the upland, the part of the upland that's not already paved or developed has a lot of invasive species too. Things like autumn olive and mugwort are occupying the site. So as you can see, in terms of the existing conditions, there's really a small percentage of the site that's wetland. It's really just along the borders of the site. And the more northerly wetland, it's mostly associated with stormwater. The more southerly wetland has some more functions. It has some wildlife habitat. When you actually get to the back of the site and start to look around, when you sort of leave the disturbed part of the site behind you, it's a much more natural wetland and has some wildlife habitat value as well. In terms of the existing stormwater treatment on the site, there really isn't any effective stormwater treatment on the site. That's something that Ellen will talk about a little bit more in terms of what the new site plan will involve, a couple more stormwater treatment measures that we think will help improve the quality of the water leaving the site. And with that characterization of the wetlands, I want to just stop and see if the commissioners have any questions about the existing conditions out there. And if not, I'll hand it back to Ellen so she can talk about some of the revisions that were made to the plan. And then I'll come back again and talk a little bit about how I think those might affect the wetland. Any questions from the commissioners at this point?
Quick question. The site just to the north?
Yes.
Which way? No, on the northwest corner of the site.
Over here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which way does the stormwater flow off of that one?
Back to this wetland here. And there's actually a pipe that deposits stormwater right in the western part of that wetland.
Okay, so, all right. Mm-hmm. I'll ask my question later then.
Okay. Any others? Okay. I'm going to turn it back to Ellen to talk a little bit about some of the revisions made to the plans.
This is basically sheet 5 of your plans. We've just added a little color to make it easier to see. There's one new building proposed, the first floor of which would be commercial. It'll contain a liquor store like what's on the site now and a few other rental areas. We're not sure what'll be in there yet, but they'll be commercial. The second and third floor of the proposed building are going to be apartments, much needed apartments. It's going to contain 16 total apartments, one bedrooms and some studio apartments. The project proposes.
Hold on 1 second. I need your name.
Tony.
What's your last name?
Vellucci.
Galucci?
Vellucci.
Oh. I just need to know for the record that Tony Vellucci, our new commissioner, has arrived.
Okay. All right. As we said before, there's no real stormwater treatment on the site. Everything sheet flows back to the large wetlands. It's small wetlands on our site, but it is a large wetlands off-site. We're proposing, during the construction phase, two temporary basins, sedimentation basins, to treat the water during construction. They, in size, they actually exceed the requirements of the Connecticut guidelines for soil and sediment control. These two basins, once the project is completed, will be converted into permanent stormwater basins, which means we'll be digging out a little more depth to them, get all the sediment out of them, get some more depth, do some really nice plantings in there, and those will be a permanent forebay and water quality basin to protect the wetlands, and everything leaving the site will be completely treated before it leaves the site. And actually, since the last time I was here, the town engineer asked me to look at the drainage, because this whole front area, including Leo Street and Route 32, is really dead flat. So what we've put in there is a small rain garden with a dry well, because we've done test holes out there, and it's extremely well-drained sand and gravel soil. So we want to get some of this water that's just sitting there during the big storms and get it into the ground. At the last meeting, it was requested that we look at moving the dumpster, which originally we had at the rear of the site, close to the water quality treatment area. We've relocated up near the building because actually it's a little more practical there anyways for people living in the apartments to get their garbage in the dumpsters. And it gets it away from the rear of the site where there's a really valuable wetlands. So that's a change we've done since the last time. As Stephanie said, the plans, the reports have all been reviewed by Ian Cole and Dave McKay, and we've addressed all their comments, and we've received a final memo from them that we've addressed all their concerns. There was a couple revisions we did for Ian Cole that I think it'd be better if Bob tells you about.
Again, Bob Russo. I want to first go to the revisions that Ellen just talked about on the plans, and first the stormwater treatment. As Ellen had mentioned, stormwater near the front of the site and on Norwich and London Turnpike, Route 32, it's really flat out here, and there's very little that that really can be done. Also, in terms of stormwater treatment for the site itself, the building and the pavement, you can see the basins located that Ellen was referring to. Doing the soil testing out there, we saw that this is a really coarse textured soil, 8-10 feet deep, and it's really well suited for infiltration. So between the two features that are being added here, there's going to be some good stormwater treatment that really isn't present on the site now. So it's my opinion that the stormwater treatment is really going to be improved for this site. It's already a developed site. It really doesn't have any formalized means of treatment, and what Ellen Bartlett has designed is going to be an improvement. And I'll also add that we did some planting and species management and inspection that'll take place
per Mr. Cole's comments, and you can see those things are called out on the plans here as well. So there will be some species planted back along the back edge of the water quality basins that are will provide both habitat and will replace some of the invasives that are out there. And that concludes what I have to say right at the moment. And I know Ellen and I would both be happy to answer questions.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine in the winter when you're plowing all, it's going to be a lot of salt, sand and salt, and then plowing all the snow to the end where the basins are and just letting it pile up. So I'm wondering, are you thinking about putting a lot of salt and sand right there near the valuable wetland, and how are you planning to address that?
I don't know what sort of snow control the owner has in mind. I'm going to ask Ellen if she has any knowledge of it.
We have talked about that. It's such a small site that they've agreed to plow to one side, and then they're going to have to remove it and carry some of the snow. When we have those years where there's a lot of snow, it'll have to be removed from the site because there really isn't room for storing it anywhere on the site.
What about the salt and sand? Imagine if you've got business patrons and residents, they're going to be over-salting and over-sanding.
Well, that's why we have a forebay.
Mm-hmm.
That's where most of that will end up.
Does it have to be cleaned out?
And it has to be cleaned out. We have a maintenance schedule on there. It will be cleaned out in the fall after all the leaves are down.
Mm-hmm.
Both basins will be cleaned. And then in the spring, once the snow season is done, they'll be cleaning out the forebay. And that's the purpose of the forebay, is to catch all of that before it gets to the water quality basin, so it cannot get to the wetlands. Also, we were asked to do an invasive species management plan, which is on the plan, because as Bob Russo mentioned, there is some invasive species on the site now. So there is a plan in place so that we will be removing those and monitoring it for the first 2 years to see if any more shows up.
I just got a quick question. I just got a quick question on sheet 3, where you're showing the silt fence and the berm. Why is there a gap? Looks like there's a where is that? 50-foot gap. Is that what I'm looking at right there?
Because everything flows this way and that way, and there really isn't anything.
But after you.
But I could absolutely, because as we're grading, that could change. I could connect that.
Yeah, if you would.
Absolutely. That's a good point, because right now there's nothing going that way, but as it's graded, things change. We'll extend it the whole way along the property line.
Anybody else have anything?
Well, I guess just one question. Do you ever foresee the basin holding enough water that it becomes a hazard for the houses that are just downstream?
Bob Russo, just to clarify, so you're talking about which basin are you? I just want to make sure. The stormwater basin?
Because there's houses right immediately next to all of that in the little neighborhood. Is it? Mm-hmm. It might not even ever be an issue.
So you can see there's a high-level overflow from those basins that heads back to the wetland that's associated with Shantok Brook.
Mm-hmm.
So if these were to reach a high level, it would overflow down into the floodplain wetland associated with Shantok Brook.
Okay.
So I don't see that becoming a problem. Mm-hmm. And again, the permeability of that soil is such that we expect it, unless there's a crazy extreme event, which we know happens every once in a while, we expect all the water that gets into these basins to infiltrate. But there is, as I mentioned, there's this high level overflow, which would direct it downslope and away from those houses.
Okay.
Okay. Need a motion?
Sure. I'll make a motion in that case. After giving due consideration to all relevant factors, including those in Section 10 and or Section 6 of the Montpelier Inland Wetlands and Watercourses Regulations and Section 22A-41 of the Connecticut General Statutes, I move to approve application number 25IWC23-2227, Route 32, parcel ID 103-092-000, Uncasville, Connecticut, owner applicant Uncasville Property LLC, for regulated activities within the upland review area for the redevelopment of the site for a mixed-use building per the application and associated documents submitted on September 5th, 2025, and plan titled Proposed Retail and Residential Project 2227 Norwich, New London Turnpike, Uncasville, Connecticut, dated June 2025 and revised on 10/7/2025.
Could I ask you to amend it to say the condition of approval is that the silt fence is continuous along the northeast side of the parking lot?
So moved.
So amended.
Hmm?
Say so amended.
So amended. Excuse me.
Okay.
Second.
All right. Any discussion? Okay. Commissioner Roscoe made a motion. Commissioner Ockley seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Carries unanimously.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, 25IWC24, 400 Gay Hill Road, Uncasville, Connecticut. Owner applicant Chad and Jennifer Aubrey for free split for the construction of a two single family residence with regulated activities.
Stacy Bradford, zoning and wetlands officer, for the record. I went over my previous comments at the last meeting. They are still on your staff report. This referral. The referral for comments was forwarded on September 12, 2025. Comments were received back on October 8th. These comments were forwarded to the applicant for response, which we received on October 9th. On October the 14th. Copy of that is attached to your packet. Staff had some additional new comments. In coordination with the town soil scientist, comments regarding clearing limits being staked out by a licensed land surveyor, staff would recommend that wetland placards be placed at the 50-foot upland review area on each individual lot to help mark the wetlands for any future development and owners. The town soil scientist noted in his comments that he observed significant bulky waste in and around the wetland area during his site inspection and suggested that if this debris was to be removed, that said activity be made part of this application. Subsequently, the applicant has requested the removal of the bulky waste currently on site in and around the wetlands be made part of this permit. The applicant stated in the October 14, 2025 response letter that the debris is primarily located at the southeasterly corner of the property and access to this area will be along the westerly property line to minimize any disturbance to the wetland area. Based on the conversation at the last meeting, staff left the motion to set a date for a site walk on this staff report should the commission feel one is required. Staff recommends that the commission continue the application to the next regularly scheduled meeting on November 20th to confirm that all town soil scientist comments have been adequately addressed. Tony from Boundaries is here on behalf of the applicant to explain the project to the commission and answer any questions.
Oh, thank you. And Tony Nenna. With the Boundaries, and with me tonight are the applicants, Chad and Jennifer Aubrey. So the lot is is located on Gay Hill Road. It has approximately 2.2 acres of area, 330 feet of road frontage along Gay Hill. This lot qualified for a free split, so we made two lots out of it. The existing lot does have a house, garage, driveway on it. That's in a very poor condition, so that's going to be demolished. So we're proposing two lots. Lot two is located along the road frontage, so we'll have access directly on Gay Hill Road. We're proposing a three-bedroom house, well, system that's going to be around the house. Lot two, let me describe where the wetland is first. I highlighted this pink line right here. And also on the northerly side of Gay Hill Road, there's a culvert that transports stormwater onto our site. The wetland area has a total area of about 35,800 square feet. And it's primarily on the easterly side of the property. And it continues off-site to the south southeast. So lot number one, what I'm calling a rear lot. It's located on the southeasterly side of the property. We're going to access it also from Gay Hill through an easement. And this lot is also a three-bedroom design with well a septic system. Both lots, the improvements are outside of the regulated wetland area. We are proposing some grading within that regulated area, and that's right in this area for lot two, and lot number one is right in this area. So lot number one has a disturbance of about 675 square feet within that regulated area. We're not impacting the wetland, we're preserving that. Lot number two has just about 1,800 square feet of basically grading within that, regrading in that regulated wetland area. We have both the planning office approval for the free split, and we also have approval from Uncas Health on the subdivision suitability for the property that we can, that both sites are can support the single family use. I'd be happy to answer any questions that the board may have. Oh, let me talk about the debris that's in the wetland area. So when we were doing the test holes for this lot, number one, we came down this path. There was a path that came down here with a machine, and we went in this way. So we'll probably access that rear property right here is where there was like an old car, some other tires, debris that was from the previous use. So we won't be crossing into the well, just in this facility part, remove that debris.
Questions? I just have one question. I think I know the answer, but why is there a second portion of the lot going up? It looks like it's the driveway's on the left side of the house, and the lot line is on the right side of the house.
Right here. This lot line.
The other one. Why wouldn't you just make that line on lot line on the other side? This.
Well, we had to get the frontage for this lot number one with the 150 feet of frontage here.
Yeah, that's what I thought. It was
a configuration to get the frontage and the area to work. Yeah.
I think from the wetland standpoint, that probably better.
Yeah, I mean, we're
because
accessing.
The guy in the one house isn't going to go that way.
Right. I mean, this guy's got, there is some improvements on the other property that is within that review area. So we tried to maximize our distances from the wetland and the regulated area. Because of the distance to the restrictive layer. We've had to keep our systems up, and we have to have footing drains, so there's certain setbacks to that to maintain, to meet the public health code. So that was why we couldn't push any, and we couldn't really push the house any further, because then the septic would move. And again, that's why we have the garage on this side, and the footing drain would be on this side of the house.
Okay. This is just for the split. This is not a permit, correct? I mean, this doesn't allow construction if we approve it.
This is for an actual permit. They have received zoning approval for the pre-split.
Okay, so this is actually for construction, not just showing that. Correct. Sometimes they come in for a split, they just have to prove they can put a house on the land.
Correct.
Okay, but this is for construction. All right.
Yes.
So, anybody want to do a site walk? Do we need to do a site walk?
And this is something you cannot see from the road, right, for a drive-by?
Not the entire site, no.
It's pretty wooded up in here.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, considering we're outside of any, it's really minimal grading that we're doing, and we're also trying to clean the wetlands up too to get that debris out.
We're so wishy-washy tonight.
Yeah. We got a quarter, we can flip it. All right, well, I'll then if we're not sure we want it, I'd say that the tie goes to the not doing it. Okay. And there's still open comments from the soil scientist?
Yes, there are.
Okay. Anybody have any other questions?
Well, the soil scientist comments were during construction. The stakeout for the limits of disturbance. I thought that was what was being done at construction. There were just two comments from the...
He did provide me with one additional comment. However, I did not make it part of a condition of approval, and I didn't get it over to you yet.
Okay.
The additional comment was that the commission could consider as a condition of approval that the wetlands officer be notified 48 hours in advance of the removal of the bulky waste from the wetlands and upland review area so that we can be present during that operation. Just to confirm that there's no...
That's the only open comment?
That was his only open comment. Bob Russo is here. If the commission would like to ask him any questions, he has reviewed this, so...
Yeah, I'd like to hear him say that then.
Okay.
For the record, Bob Russo from CLA Engineers. I have walked the site, have viewed the bulky waste, the car, the other junk in the field, and it's just my concern that anytime you're cleaning up something like that, it's probably a good idea to have staff out there just to observe what's going on, to make sure that the work progresses in a way that's not doing any undue harm to the wetland, and that if the removal of that necessitates the need for some additional erosion and sedimentation control, that it get put in. That's my main concern. I think it's something that the commission could handle as a condition of approval if they desire.
And that's the only open comp?
Correct.
All right. Is the applicant okay with that?
Yeah, I think we're okay. Yeah, that's fine. I mean, we would do that during the construction, so.
Yeah.
I'll be on site. Sorry to chat over you. I'll be on site doing the construction.
You have to actually say it into the mic so it gets recorded.
Hello, Chad Obrey. I'm the owner of the property at 400 Gayhill Road. I'll be on site. I'll be the ones building the house. I have my own company, Obrey Crawler Construction. So I'll be on site, so I'll verify and make sure that does take place and have somebody on site while we're removing that. So that's not a problem whatsoever.
Great. Does anybody else have any questions or concerns?
No.
Okay, can we get the wording for the... Is the wording in here?
No.
It's not. I'm writing it right now.
Thank you. Those guys have got to hold it up and move it.
Who would like to make that?
Oh, that was going to be Bobby.
It's a long one.
Your official spokesman.
Okay, after giving due consideration to all relevant factors, including those in Section 10 and or Section 6 of the Moffett Inland Wetlands and Watercourse Regulations and Section 22A-41 of the Connecticut General Statutes, I move to approve application number 25-IWC-24, 400 Gayhill Road, parcel ID 016-023-000, Uncasville, Connecticut. Owners, applicants, Chad and Jennifer Obrey, for regulated activities within the inland, within the upland review area in conjunction with a free split to develop two building lots for the construction of a single family residence on each respective lot. Per the application, the associated documents submitted on September 11th, 2025, and plan titled Improvement Location and Topographical Survey Free Split in Residential Site Development Plans prepared for Chad Obrey, 400 Gayhill Road, Moffett, Connecticut, dated August 2025, with the following conditions. Number one, all limits of disturbance will be staked out by the licensed land surveyor and inspected by the ZEO/WEO prior to clearing. Number two, town staff should be consulted to make a field determination as to which trees are to be cut and which are to remain, and the trees should be field flagged. Number three, wetland placards shall be placed at the 50-foot URA on each individual lot to help mark the wetlands for any future development and owners. Number four, applicant shall notify ZEO, WEO when bulky waste is removed from the site. Standard reasons for approval and standard conditions of approval apply.
Did you add the condition about the? Sorry, did he add the condition about?
Yes.
Oh, sorry.
I second it.
All right, any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries unanimously.
Thank you. Thank you for your time.
Okay, new business, 25 IBC 25, 428 Fire Street. Owner applicant Mark DeRozier. Regular activities to make repairs to a driveway in the wetlands and upland review area.
Stacy Radford, zoning and wetlands officer, for the record. This application is for an after-the-fact permit for regulated activities in conjunction with repairs that the property owner made to an existing driveway due to flooding. On September 2nd, 2025, I received a potential complaint for someone working within wetlands and/or the upland review area on this property. Myself and assistant planner Meredith Badaluca conducted a site inspection which revealed an excavator parked in what appeared to be the upland review area, an obvious soil disturbance, which you can see in the September 2nd, 2025 inspection report attached to the staff report. A notice of apparent violation was forwarded to the property owner on September 4th with a request for compliance within 7 days. The property owner contacted me on September 9th. I explained what was observed during my September 2nd inspection, and the property owner advised me that he, quote, expanded the driveway and I did disturb soil, end quote. I advised the property owner to immediately cease all activities other than to install silt fence to protect the wetlands. The property owner advised that all work had been completed and agreed to an on-site meeting where he could explain what he had done. On September 18th, 2025, myself and assistant planner Meredith Badaluca met with the property owner. In light of what we observed on site, we advised the property owner that an after-the-fact permit would be required by this commission. You can see that in the inspection report dated September 18th, which is attached to the staff report. On September 19th, the property owner submitted an application and a hand-drawn site plan, both of which are in your packet. On September 23rd, 2025, I referred this application and supporting documents out to the town soil scientist, Robert Russo, for his comments. It was agreed that in-site inspection would be necessary for a better understanding of what had actually occurred on site. On October 7th, 2025, myself, Assistant Planner Meredith Fataluca, the property owner, and town soil scientist Robert Russo met at the property. The property owner explained to Mr. Russo what activities had occurred, and on October 8th, 2025, I received comments from the town soil scientist explaining his findings and recommendations, a copy which is also attached to your staff report. On October 14th, the property owner contacted me and advised that he had hired certified soil scientist Richard Snarski to delineate the wetlands on the property. On October 15th, myself and assistant planner Meredith Fataluca conducted a site visit, and I prepared an inspection report showing the areas which Mr. Snarski had delineated. There's an area in my staff report with history for this piece of property. Bob Russo is here. He also was on site, like I had mentioned, so he can give you a better understanding of what he saw at the site itself during that inspection. This is the inspection that.
Thank you. For the record, Bob Russo, soil scientist with CLA Engineers. As your staff, Stacy Radford, just mentioned, I inspected the site with her, with Planner Badaluca, Assistant Planner Badaluca, and with the owner. And what I found was that there had been extensive disturbance to the wetland and water course that are out there. As the owner had indicated, he had done some grading, widened a driveway, installed a pipe, and both upstream and downstream of that pipe, there had been excavation and fill in the wetland. And it was apparent from taking auger samples at various locations along that the soils had been disturbed, and on inspection that the wetland vegetation had been disturbed as well. My recommendation that I sent over to Ms. Radford included that because of the filling, excavation, installation of the culvert along the stretch of riparian wetland there, that there needs to be a restoration plan. My recommendation is that both a professional engineer and soil scientist prepare a wetland restoration plan there as part of this application. The nature of the disturbance there and the nature of the size of the watershed. This is probably close to being a perennial stream, probably dries up some years, but there's a decent-sized watershed upstream. And the historic photographs that Stacy Radford has provided to you document what was there before and a history of disturbance. And that my opinion is that what's warranted here is that that restoration plan be a detailed restoration plan showing contours, showing restoration of the stream channel that was there, plantings of vegetation. That is essentially a detailed plan prepared by the professionals, a soil scientist and an engineer, that staff can then review on behalf of the commission.
Mr. DeRosa is here. He's the property owner.
So just enlarge your driveway without getting a permit? Did you get anybody to size the pipe or anything like that to make sure it's the right size?
Let's see, the driveway is like a dam, okay, and the water flows under the dam, and the dam is clogged. Did you see the picture I sent?
My apologies. There were some pictures which were left this afternoon that I did not make part of your packets, but I will give them to you now.
Thank you.
there's one picture with the bird in it, the crane. That is pre doing anything in the driveway. You see the water level? That was early spring. Then let's look in the other picture is the water flowing. You can see the concrete slab, the water flowing over the road. So the pipe that I put in actually is not a culvert. It's an overflow pipe to try to eliminate this water, this massive amount of water that goes over the road.
Well, that's my question. Did anybody actually do the math to make sure it's the right size pipe?
No, because okay. The dam or the water, the rocks that are underneath the dam, the water usually flows down there, but it got clogged, okay? And it causes this to raise up. And this has been gradually building up over the years. And now it's flowing good now, and the pipe is probably, if you look at the picture with the crane in it, the water level right now is about right what it is right now in that picture. You've seen it. The inspector seen it.
Think we need a sidewalk?
I think so.
We're gonna come out and take a look. Next. It's also getting on in here.
Time changes too.
That's what I'm saying, yeah. It was up a minute. The meeting is the 20th. Does Saturday the 15th sound okay?
Saturday the 15th?
Yeah.
Do you have a time?
I'm getting to next.
We do late afternoon. I can make it.
I can't promise Saturday, but if it works, I'll be there.
Okay. You don't care?
Saturday the 15th?
Yeah.
What time are you thinking?
So that afternoon, like, we want.
We do like 3 or 4, if possible.
4 will be dark.
4 o'clock?
4 will be dark.
Oh, yeah. 3 o'clock?
It'll be dark
sure.
At 4?
Time changes.
Right. Time changes. Okay. So can I get a motion to set a site walk at 428 Fire Street for 3 o'clock in the afternoon on November 15th?
So moved.
Seconded.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank
right.
you.
I guess we'll see you. Right, 25 IWC 26, 49 Salt Box Lane, parcel ID. This is Connecticut owners Jason and Shannon Fancier, applicant Andrew Clark for timber harvest.
Good evening. My name is Andrew Clark, owner of Limitless Logging LLC. I in front of the commission tonight to. Seek a jurisdictional ruling for a timber harvest that I'll be doing on the property of the Fanchers. This property is 93 acres. However, we are just doing a 5-acre wildlife clear cut, approximately in the middle of the property. If you look on the map provided, the clear cut is approximately 350 to 375 feet away from a brook that does run through the property. There will be no disturbance between the brook and the clear cut we're doing. The main purpose of the clear cut is to create wildlife habitat. The area is primarily beech trees that are dying, red maple that are rotting and falling over, and it's, rather than growing trees, it's a better use to create a wildlife habitat versus just letting the trees deteriorate and die. So that is our plan. We're going to be piling the brush to create wildlife piles on this area, and so it's not a big disturbance on the overall size of the property, but I felt it was the correct thing to do to come to the commission and get your blessing.
Well, it is the correct thing to do.
Yes.
I believe clear cuts aren't as of right.
There won't be any stumping or anything of activity like that.
You're not taking any wood off-site?
Oh, no. We're removing the wood off-site, any firewood. It's mostly firewood. Okay. But the wood will be leaving. Anything less than 6 inches in diameter will be going into the wildlife piles.
All right. I just need to verify my regulations here for a minute.
Sure.
I don't. I think I've been on this commission 40 years. I've never had somebody come before us with a clear cut. Unless they were building a building there.
The current use of the property is forest land, and it's used for recreational purposes for hunting.
No house there or anything?
No. And that is the primary function of what we're, why we're doing clear cuts, to create better wildlife habitat.
So this is not for the expansion of agricultural.
Well, forestry is agriculture by Connecticut General
Statute. No. What it says is what's considered as of right, which would have been nice, is except provision or not construed to include blah, 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 clear cutting of timber except for the expansion of agricultural cropland or the mining of topsoil, pan, and standing ground. So this does require a permit. But is this in an inland wetland?
It's not. It's 350
okay.
feet
That's
from a wetland.
Different
then. So.
All right. So I was just...
It's not in the wetland, it's not in the upland review area, and you're accessing it from Saltbox Road.
Okay.
From an existing access.
So I would say then it's not an as of right, it's a doesn't need a permit.
Right.
It's just a notification.
It's a notification.
All right. So I don't.
We don't need to approve it then.
Nope.
Right?
A permit, then I don't think we need to take any action. Right? Okay.
Thanks for letting us know.
Thanks. All right.
Thank you.
A little different. During the day. Okay. Correspondence.
So for correspondence, we have a copy of a letter of resignation from Charlie Abday, dated September 29th, 2025. This letter of resignation was accepted by the town council at the October 15, 2025 meeting last night. The next thing we have for correspondence is a flyer from Kakiwik, which is a training that's held yearly. If anyone's interested in the training, all the information regarding it is in that flyer.
good event if folks are interested in attending. It's useful. But it's also the day of a site walk, isn't it? The 15th?
Is it?
Cool. Yep.
I believe it is. Yes.
So never mind.
That way you might not be able to make it.
No. Saturdays are my time.
All right. Other business.
So the Connecticut General Assembly issued legislation concerning land use and planning, specifically with reference to required training for members of the inland wetland agencies in Connecticut. Public Act 25-72, Section 2, became effective October 1st, 2025, and states in part, this session, the legislature expanded the Inland Wetlands Agency training requirements, requiring all inland wetland agency members and related municipal staff, rather than only one person for each agency, to complete DEEP's training program, which DEEP must make available on its website. It's not on the website at this time. However, I will continue to monitor DEEP's website, and once it is, I'll provide information to all of you via email.
Do you know what it consists of? Like, how many hours or modules?
I don't. Everything's very vague right now.
Okay.
So I'll have to wait until.
It's not the same program we did through UConn?
It's not, no. From what I understand, it's not. Again, I haven't seen anything specifically with reference to it, but I don't believe it is the same training through the UConn.
I suspect it is, but I don't know.
We'll have
it's
to wait with
bated
breath.
They used to do a training where they actually took you out in the woods.
Oh, cool.
You've been doing this, you know. The other piece is that they're requiring you to retake the whole thing every 4 years?
Correct.
Wow.
Yeah.
But you don't report on your compliance, or you do?
We do report it. We report it to the town council, who reports to the state.
Okay.
That's all we have to do. Even for the Planning and Zoning Commission, the commission just has to provide staff with an email that they complied with taking the training courses. And then we send notifications, staff sends notification on behalf of the commission to the town council, and they forward that on to the state.
Wonderful.
There's not a formal process at this time, but they are requiring the training, so we'll keep track of it in-house at this time.
Okay, thank you.
And the next thing will be election of officers.
Excellent timing on Mr. Abdi's part. So we need three officers. We need a chairman, a vice chairman, and a secretary. The main purpose of the vice chairman and the secretary right now is that the chairman's not available, they run the meeting. The other purpose is that once in a while there's a plan that comes in and needs to be signed because of some regulation. And again, if the chairman's not available like the last couple of weeks, one of them can come in and sign it. Anybody want to be chairman?
I vote for you, Doug.
Yeah, you've been doing a great job.
Do you want to be vice chairman, too?
How about vice chairman?
I don't care. I could do it. It doesn't matter. I can run meetings before and stuff.
Right on.
How about secretary?
Why are you looking at me? Because I'm a girl? That is...
not in the least.
That's right. It's a girl's job.
Yeah. Let that not be put
in the
minutes.
I'm the secretary of my club, by the way.
I'll be the secretary.
Okay. Any other nominations from the floor?
It's best look. He's not right.
I previously been the recording secretary at my union, so.
You're all trying to walk it back now.
I'm the secretary of mine.
Seniority on the commission stands for something, and you have it over me.
I'm the secretary of my radio club, and I have to type up all the minutes and stuff, so.
You're blessed with Gloria.
Okay, so the slate of officers is Chairman Brush as chairman, Commissioner Occhialini as vice chairman, and Commissioner LeClaire as secretary. Any other nominations? Okay, all in favor of the proposed slate?
Aye.
It carries unanimously. That's not. See, this could have caused a real problem because the club that I'm in, the bylaws say that if there's no competing nominations, the secretary has to cast one vote. We don't have a secretary.
Oh man.
Yep.
We could have had to have a coup. Okay, it is now 7:06, and we need to move to executive session. We can do it one of two ways. We can all leave this room, go to another room, or we can ask. Thank
you. Turn off the recording, too?
Yeah, we got to stop the recording. Appreciate it. Okay, it is now 7:17, and the commission is out of executive session. And we need.
And no votes were taken.
And no votes were taken. That's what I meant to say. Mm-hmm. All right. In that case, I need one more motion.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
I second it.
All right. Thank you, everyone, for coming. Welcome to the commission.
Very nice to meet you, Tony.
Is that off now?
6 p.m. I have to remember that for next time.